been doing for the last few weeks is just kind of pulling out some of my favorite Sunday school lessons that I've taught through the years. We have new people that have come in, and we have people who are old, and they can't remember what I taught. And some of you might can remember, but it's always good to have the word again. Amen? So this morning, we're going to be looking at a verse out of Isaiah 41. This verse is many people's life verse. The verse you're going to probably recognize. But before we jump in, let's pray together. Our Father, we're so thankful that your word is so rich. And so as we bring our hearts to your word this morning, we come, Father, because we're very needy women. And we ask you to take your word this morning and fill our hearts with comfort and fill our hearts with great encouragement. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but one of my favorite things to do is go out to Buds and Blooms. Do y'all like to just go out there? It's very nourishing. And I mean, you're just walking around, and it's just such a, I don't know, there's something calm and peaceful, and it just gives nourishment to your soul to be out there among all those plants. And, you know, they've got Bible verses everywhere, and they usually have Christian music playing, and I just love going out there. I say it's very much therapy. And so that is a picture of kind of what our lives as Christian women should be. There should be this calming, peaceful, nourishing sort of element that is going on in our inner people. And so this morning, I'm kind of going to pull this verse out of Isaiah. And I want to use it as a theme of an overcomer. And we are in Christ overcomers. And this is a word to us as overcomers. And so I read a story in the past about a person who was on board a ship. And they were going on across the ocean. And they didn't realize that their ticket included everything on the ship. They just thought they were getting passage. And so as they're traveling on their ship, they were living in their room out of crackers and sardines and all kinds of things, and they missed the whole banquet that was going on every night that was included in their passage. And a lot of times that's a picture of how we as Christians live. We're living on crackers and sardines when God's got the whole banquet table out for us. And so we have access to so much as Christians. But instead of reigning in life, we are just barely getting by a lot of times. And I think that's a tragedy. So today I want us just to come to Isaiah. I want us to drink deeply from God's word. And let the Spirit nourish our inner persons. I want to start by looking at two verses in 1 John. Did I put this on your handout? 1 John 5:4. I don't know if it's on there or not, but just listen to it. Listen to this verse. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, as Christian women, we are many things, but today in our time together, I want to focus on this thought, that in Christ we're overcomers. Now, I like the sound of that, don't you? I'm an overcomer in Christ. Now, I just wonder, do you feel like an overcomer? I think if you were honest with me this morning, many of us would say, I feel like anything but an overcomer. But it's amazing that God's word tells us that in Christ, we're overcomers. Now, either God's word is true or it's not. And so today, this lesson is a lesson for us as overcomers. And I'm so glad we're here together, because as women, we're so busy, we have a million plates spinning in our lives, and we're so needy in this world. And without God in this world, we will fail, and we will fail miserably. We desperately need Him every moment. So I want us to look at this verse this morning that is going to hold us in times of stress. Now look at it with me. Let's just go right to verse 10, because that's the main verse. We're going to look at the other verses as well, but this is the main verse I want us to focus on this morning. Verse 10, Isaiah 41, verse 10. And this is God speaking here. He says this: "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Let me read that verse to you out of the Amplified Bible. I like the Amplified Bible. And this is how the Amplified kind of expands that verse. It says it this way: "Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, a hand of power, of victory, and of salvation." Now, this verse is going to serve us well. There she comes. Gina, we got some questions, but we'll ask at the end of our lesson. Now, let's look at this verse. There are two commands in that verse. Let's write them down on our handout. The first commandment is this. To us this morning, as Christian women, what is God commanding to us? Let's hear what God is saying. Number one, fear not. So write that on your handout. Fear not. And then the next command, I want you to put this word instead of dismay. I want you to put the word anxious. Do not be anxious. Dismay is sort of an old-fashioned word, but the Revised Standard uses the word anxious. Do not be anxious. Do not anxiously look about you, is how it says it. Now, those are two commandments. And mainly, the bottom line, what does that really mean? It just means you don't have to live your life afraid. Now, listen to me. God is telling us this morning, do not be afraid. He doesn't want us to be afraid about tomorrow as we think about our future. He doesn't want us to be overcome with anxiety. Are you ever anxious? Are you ever anxious? Can you relate to that this morning? But God wants us to overcome this dismaying feeling and uncertainty about the future. Now, whenever the Bible gives a commandment, it never just puts a commandment out there without a support under it. So, Teresa, why should we not fear this morning? Why should we not be anxious? And there are some pillars that undergird these two commands that are given to us in verses 1 through 9. There are five of them that come in, no, five pillars come in this verse. And we're going to write them down. So let's do that. Five pillars that undergird these two commands. Number one, do not fear. Why? For I am with you. That's the first pillar undergirding us. The second one, do not fear, Teresa, because I am your God. That's the next pillar that's undergirding these commands. Do not anxiously look about you, for I'm your God. That's what it says. And then it says, do not fear, for I will strengthen you. I will strengthen you. And then he says, surely I will help you. And then surely do not fear, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now let's restate these five pillars that are undergirding these two commands in simple terms. And this is how I want to say it. Do not be afraid. God is with me. God is my God. God will strengthen me. God will help me. God will uphold me. God is calling us this morning not to be afraid. Teresa, don't be afraid this coming week. when you're just going out in the world and you're trying to share your testimony or the gospel with somebody, don't be afraid. Maybe you have some things on your calendar this week that are hard. God is saying to you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when you have to face, maybe like Carolyn and Pat, this unexpected illness that they're walking through. Don't be afraid. Maybe you've lost someone very dear to you that you love, and you're walking through these new waters. Don't be afraid, God is saying. That is what God is calling us. You are not to be afraid, because I'm with you, God says. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will support you with my righteous right hand. Now, we're going to come back to this verse in a few minutes. But what I want to do now is look at the verses that come before this verse. Because verses 1 through 9 are kind of like kindling under a fire that's going to really help us to have verse 10 explode and be intensified in our lesson this morning. In verses 1 through 9, we are going to get some glimpses of who God is. And if we can see God for who he is, and then we can understand our God is, he's very, very strong. And they're going to increase the power of those pillars that are underneath those two commands. And so we're going to get four glimpses of God in verses 1 through 9. Now let's write down the first glimpse. The first glimpse, we're going to see that God is judge. He is the judge. Now let's start in verse 1. And this is God speaking. In these verses, God is speaking. Let's see what God is saying. Verse 1, coastlands, listen to me in silence, and let the peoples gain new strength. Let them come forward. Let them speak. Let us come together for judgment. Now, here is God. He's standing and he's calling all of the coastlands and all of the peoples to gird up their strength and to come before him for judgment. You see, we're seeing here that the God that is speaking in Isaiah 41:10 is actually the God of all the earth. And he's actually the judge of all the nations. He is not judged by the nations. The nations don't give an account we don't give an account to him. He calls us into his courtroom. The God of Isaiah 41:10, who is holding up by his righteous right hand, is the God who holds all the nations to account. He is their judge. That's glimpse number one. Here's glimpse number two. God is the ruler. So write that down. He's the judge, and he's also the ruler. Go to verses 2 and 3. Isaiah asked, "Who has aroused one from the east?" Now that is referring to a king out of history named Cyrus. He was a Persian king that God stirred up to come against Babylon. He's the one from the east. He is going to be used by God as the rod of God to judge. Let's go back to the verse. Who has aroused one from the east, whom he, now we're speaking of God, calls in righteousness to his feet? He delivers up nations before him. He makes them like dust with his sword, and the wind driven like chaff with his bow. Here's our second glimpse of God here in Isaiah. He's not just a God that's going to be the God that's the judge of all the nations, but he's the God who is now ruling. He's raising up rulers. He's involved. He is ruling over this king named Cyrus, and he gives kings to Cyrus like dust. Now listen. The God who is speaking to us this morning, and he's saying to us in Isaiah 41:10, don't be afraid. I am your God. I will be with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He is a God who raises up kings and who puts down kings. Here's a third glimpse of who God is. Let's write it down. He is creator. Creator. Go to verse 4. Who has performed and accomplished it, calling forth the generations from the beginning? Who called these nations? Who is the one who called these kings? Who called all these people in their generation? Who brought them into being? And the answer is, go back to the verse, I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am He. So not only is the picture given of God as the ruler of the nations and the kings, not only is He the judge of all the nations and the kings, but He's also the creator of all the nations. He's the creator, He's the ruler, He's the judge. He started with everything, He upholds everything, He guides it. He is the one in whom we will all stand and give an account in the end. And this is the God that is saying to us this morning, very personally, I am your God. I am your God. I'll help you Monday morning. I'll strengthen you. I'm here. I'll uphold you with this very right hand. I'm the one that rules the nations. I'm the one that raises up kings and puts them down. I'm the one that brought all the nations into being. This is the God of Isaiah 46:10. Then we come to verses 5 through 7. Let's read those verses. Isaiah is going to show us here the desperate attempts of the nations to persuade themselves that they have their own gods, and their own gods are strong. Look at it with me. Verse 5. They are afraid, and they come together. They try to encourage each other not to be afraid and say, be strong, be strong. The idol makers who smooth the metal and nail up the idols with nails try to encourage each other, and they say, it is good, it is good. You see, we can do a lot as human beings. We're made in the image of God. We can build big buildings. We can heal a lot of diseases. And that's all good. It's all good. But most of the world finds it difficult to believe that they actually need God. And verses 5 through 7 show us the desperate attempt on the part of the nations to encourage themselves that they can make it in the world without God. And that's on your handout. And over against that comes the wonderful, wonder-saving work of God in verses 8 through 9. Let's look at that. But you, O Israel, in contrast to the idol-worshipping nations, you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendant of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called from its remotest parts, and said to you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not rejected you. Here's a fourth glimpse of God for us to write down. He gathers his people from the nations, and he brings them to himself. So in these verses, we get a picture of God. He's the God who judges the nations. He's a God who rules the nations. He's a God who chooses people for himself. He calls them into being. He calls them from their hopeless distance, and he makes them their servant. So there are the four glimpses of God leading up to our verse for this morning, 41:10. Here's glimpse number one. God is judge. He's calling the coastlands to give an account. He's calling them to stand in his courtroom. Glimpse number two, he's the ruler of the rulers of the world. Glimpse number three, he's the one who brought everyone into being. And glimpse number four, he gathers his people from the nations and brings them to himself. Now that is who we are this morning. We are ones that he has called to himself. Let's look at it out of Ephesians 1 on your handout there. And that verse tells us that before the foundation of the world, God chose you, God predestined you, God marked you out beforehand, and God adopted you as his very own. Now let me try to pull it all together for us. The God who judges the earth and calls the coastlands to give an account. The God who rules the rulers of history. The God who calls the nations into being. The God who calls his people from the nations to himself. That God says to me and to you this morning, I am your God. Teresa, don't be afraid. I'm your God. Veronica, don't be afraid. I am with you. That's what he's saying. And don't be afraid. I will strengthen you. Susan, don't be afraid. I will help you. It's personal. Sandra, I will hold you up. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. Now notice verse 10. Only now does he say, after verses 1 through 9, because of all of these truths of who I am, therefore, for the rest of your life, do not be afraid. This is not just a truth hanging out in the air, is it? It's got wonderful truths about God that are undergirding that. Let's say it this way to help bring it home to us this morning. Let's use prepositions. Let's write down some prepositions. They're going to show us five spatial relationships that God has to us. First of all, he says, I am your God. Now, that is to say he is above us. Write that in the blank. He is above us. Or he's over us with his mighty hand. And then he says, I am with you. That is to say he's beside me. He's with me. And then he says, I will help you. Well, that is to say he's all around us as our help. From whatever angle the enemy may come at us or attack us or the threat that we receive, he will help us. He's all around us. And then he says, I will strengthen you. Well, he's inside us. From inside out, he's going to strengthen us in our inner person. And then he says, I will uphold you. And that is, he's underneath us to hold us up. I'm over you. I'm beside you. I'm under you. I'm all around you to strengthen you. I'm in you. You don't need to fear. You don't need to be afraid. There's one great ground for fearlessness. Why, Teresa? Why should I not be afraid? Why don't you worry, Teresa? What is your secret to living a life that's free of anxiety, free of worry? What is your secret? And one word comes to mind. It's God. He's the key. He is my God. He is with me. He will strengthen me. He will help me. He will uphold me. And he will do it for each one of us because he is our God. It's just one message. If you have God, you don't need to be afraid. If you're in Christ, if you're his. And this lesson calls us this morning to this very fact, that the most important factor in the future of your fearlessness, it's not who your family was, it's not what kind of education did you have, and your job security, it's not, okay, what about your own natural abilities to do things? No, no. The Bible is showing us we really can be free in Christ from fear because of who our God is. So there's no need to put limitations upon ourselves, no need to live in a fatalistic manner. Well, Teresa, you just don't know the mistakes I've made. I've made a lot of mistakes. Well, Teresa, you just don't know where I came from. You don't understand my background. I've got so much to overcome in my life. No, no. You and I, if we're in Christ, we have a God who is more powerful than anything in our past. He can break any bondage. Amen. And the Bible holds up a God who is stronger than our past track record. He's stronger than our personality. He's stronger than our own timidness. He's stronger than our perceived identity as a nobody who could possibly ever accomplish anything for God. You see, it is God who makes the difference in our lives. Not our parents, not our friends, not our talents, and not our circumstances. It's God who makes the difference. Now, God is calling us in this verse to live a life of joyful fearlessness. Is fear a real problem in your life? This is a verse you need to write on a card, and you need to put it in places to see and let it bring encouragement. We've got to stop focusing on our own inadequacies and looking in ourselves. Rather, we've got to learn to look at who our God is. That's what makes the difference in our lives. We've got to talk to ourselves. We've got to talk to ourselves about how great our God is. Amen. Now, the question is this morning, this is God's word to us. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? In the book of John, I didn't put this on your handout, but this is a familiar verse out of the book of John, and this is Jesus speaking. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." In other words, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't look at your circumstances. Look at who I am and look at who God is and believe me. I really believe we live such defeat in our lives because we're trying to figure ourselves out all the time instead of fixing our attention and our affections on the living God and who He is. I want to close with Psalm 1 this morning. It's one of my favorite psalms. And let's see what it says. It says, "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." You see, it's knowing God's word that makes all the difference. And that's how we get to know who God is through his word. And God is calling us now to live fearless lives. Take this verse this morning and believe it. Talk to yourself about it. I heard somebody say the most important conversations you ever have are the conversations you have with yourself. And so encourage your heart. This is the God that God is. He is personal. He is this to us this morning. This is his word to you this morning. He is our God. I'm so glad you were here this morning. Now, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for just putting this one verse in the Word of God for us this morning to take and to be encouraged by. I pray, God, that you would put this heart, write it upon our minds. Help us to believe this word. that we won't live lives of anxiety or fear, but of bold faith, trusting in you. I thank you that you cup our faces in your hands and you speak to us so personally through your word. I just pray that you will take this word and that it will become truly just a watchword over our hearts. We bless your name this morning. We thank you for this time of Sunday school. We pray for Gary Mays as he comes today to bring our message. We ask you to speak through him. We pray for Brother Greg and Terry as they are on their sabbatical, that you'll bless them. Bring them home safely to us, Father. And we just ask you now, Lord, to bless next week as Gina leads at the apartments with the Backyard Bible Club, that would be a blessing and that your gospel would be proclaimed, Father. We pray for this family that's moved from the Ukraine, Lord, that they will experience your love through the body of Christ here in Brookhaven. Thank you, Father, for all the amazing opportunities that you put before us. We ask you now, Lord, to just continue to use us, Father. Make our Sunday school class to become strong witness in our community. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.